Today's text is from Jeremiah 17, 19 through 27. Jeremiah 17, 19 through 27. Thus said the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Let's pray together. Our good and gracious God, Father in heaven, you have been merciful to us and not left us to our own ways and our own devices. You have given us your word. And Lord, you have given us your spirit to lead us into all truth and to illuminate your word for us. And Lord, we pray that you will use this time in your word today to conform us more and more into the image of your dear Son. And in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, preaching this topic from this pulpit is likely going to be one of review. Marian is a great teacher on the Sabbath, the importance of it, what it means to his people, to God's people. And so most of this will probably be review for you folks. But I'm reminded of something, a story I heard about Spurgeon. Somebody asked him why he continues to preach the gospel every week, time and time again. And he responded, why do I preach the gospel all the time? Because you keep forgetting. So, as it is with the Sabbath, we tend to want to forget some of its requirements. So we will look and see what is here for us. Last week I started talking about liberty and bondage. And in light of that, we talked about debt as individuals and as nations. And as we explore that topic more and more, and as I was preparing this message and this series, really, it became apparent to me that Sabbath breaking and idolatry caused most of Israel's captivity, and Judah's as well. And this Sabbath breaking and idolatry go hand in hand, and the curses in God's word are for bondage. So before we get started here, anytime I preach from the prophets, I'm always a little apprehensive. Marian reminded me of that this morning as he was praying. He said that he prayed that I would have the voice of a prophet. And I said, but Marian, they always get killed. So as you affirm this message today, know that it could be a lonely place. Jeremiah, by human standards, was fairly unsuccessful. The folks that he preached to did not listen. And he was at odds with the authorities, and his life was threatened several times. In danger often, actually. So let's look at the passage here. We'll start at verse 19. It says, "Thus said the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates." The first thing that stands out to me is that Jeremiah is talking first to the kings. We generally don't think of encouraging them in Sabbath keeping, that the prophets are speaking to the kings, to the civil magistrates. But that is exactly where Jeremiah starts. He brings in all the other people in Jerusalem as well, so nobody gets off the hook. But he does bring this message first to the kings. And he talks to them about this gate, where they come in and go out. And this phrase is primarily one referring to warfare. The kings would lead the people out of the gates into battle. And hopefully, if God was with them, they would lead them back through those same gates victoriously. And these gates were also the location where the civil courts met. So again, it is interesting in our modern ears to hear that Jeremiah goes primarily to the civil magistrates here. But in the Westminster Larger Catechism, we see that this is the pattern. Question 118 says, "Why is the charge of keeping the Sabbath more specially directed to governors of families and other superiors?" The answer: the charge of keeping the Sabbath is more specially directed to governors of families and other superiors because they are bound not only to keep it themselves, but to see that it be observed by all those who are under their charge. So you fathers that are in the room, any civil magistrates we may have, anyone really who has authority over another, it is your duty to keep the Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath, and to ensure that those in your charge are honoring the Sabbath as well. So as we move down here through the passage, verse 21, "Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves." This is Jeremiah pleading with the people. Take heed to yourselves. Warnings. Danger. Mortal danger. Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instructions. So Jeremiah is telling them to do no work on the Sabbath, to bear no burdens. Now, I'm not going to talk today about carrying bundles of sticks or kindling fires or any of those kind of arguments. It's my understanding that the Jews like to debate about whether they could eat eggs or not, because the hen may have labored on the Sabbath to produce the egg. We're not going to go there. But as I was brought up in the government schools, as most of you were, I often have to look up the words in Scripture because I think I know what they mean, but I'm not always sure. So as I looked up the word hallow, from Webster's 1828, the second definition for the word says, to devote to holy or religious exercises, to treat as sacred. To treat as sacred. And then, of course, as is usually the case, it quotes the passage that I was looking at. It refers to Jeremiah 17 as the example. So, as we're considering this hallowing the Sabbath day, I thought I would go back and do some review. Please grab your Bibles. I'm going to do a bit of reading here. Please bear with me, but I think it's important to establish what God's Word says on this topic. And as we're going to start, we're going to go to Exodus 20. We're going to consider the fourth commandment here. But really, as the Sabbath or Sabbath breaking and idolatry are often used in connection with one another, I thought it would be good if we opened up the context of Exodus chapter 20 a little bit. And I'll back up to verse 2 and start reading there. So Exodus 20, starting with verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now I included verse 12 there on honoring the father, thy father and thy mother, because of this requirement for superiors to speak about Sabbath breaking to those who they are in charge of. And our responsibility, because we're all under somebody's authority, is to obey those above us and heed their words when it comes to this idea of the Sabbath. Now it says, remember the Sabbath day. What are we called to remember here? What are we called to remember? It then goes into the creation account. There's even creation language up above in the warnings against graven images of anything in the heaven above or the earth beneath or the waters under the sea. So this passage is actually full of creation type language. So when we go over to Genesis chapter 2, where we find the Sabbath laid out. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Very familiar passage. Most of the passages we're going to be looking at today are very familiar. But again, as we read this particular passage, and as we think about this account where God talks to us about the Sabbath, I think it is really helpful to go back and pick up the context in which this is said. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start about verse 24. And in front of that it says, the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And then verse 24 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now that's a lot of reading, and I won't apologize for that. So what we have here in the creation account is day six. God is pretty busy on day six. He creates the animals, all the animals, and they're going to reproduce after their kind. And then God creates man. All right? And then God gives man his marching orders. He tells him to take dominion. He tells him to replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. God also provides food for man and for all the animals. I realized that on day six, God creates everything for worship. The animals for the sacrifice, the plants that were used in sacrifice, men as worshipers. So he leads right up to the seventh day. But after he gives them the marching orders, after he shows them around a little bit, they're in a brand new creation. It is perfect. There is no sin. God says, let's take a break. Let's take some time and rest in what I have done, in what I have created it, in what I have created. Isn't this great? Look at this place. It's amazing. Food will come out of the trees. And you will not have to work for it. For both you and the animals. And God speaks to his creation. And he speaks to man. And he establishes himself as our sovereign. He is over everything. He shows us that he is the creator. He shows us that he is the provider. This is how much God loves us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He tells us to rest. To rest in him. It'd be nice to stop right there, but let's keep going. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 12 through 15, we're going to bring in a little different idea here. It says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So we were told before to remember the Sabbath day, to remember what God had done as our sovereign and as our creator and as our provider. And here we are told to keep the Sabbath day, meaning to keep or to guard or to preserve or to watch over to watch carefully over, or to be on guard. Now, this is the same word that God used in Genesis chapter 2 when he was talking to Adam and Eve and said, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." We know that Adam failed in this duty. But in this passage, God clearly establishes his sovereign reign again, and that he, through us, is telling us to keep the Sabbath. It talks about even our animals, the strangers that are within our gates. So everybody that is under our influence, we are to encourage to keep the Sabbath. It goes through the Creator and the Provider again. But in this passage, it introduces God as our deliverer. Because we know the rest of chapter 2, that man falls into sin, and he needs a redeemer. So on top of his graciousness to us, he then delivers us. He is merciful. We do not deserve this mercy. This is indicating that he pays the penalty for our sins. God makes a sacrifice for Adam and Eve. And we are told that we will die. And that is true, we do die. But at this point, he gives us eternal life. When he pays for our sins, he gives us eternal life. He sets us at liberty. We have placed ourselves in bondage by breaking his law. And yet, because of his mercy, he sets us free. Also mentions coming out of Egypt here. God also goes before us, defeating his enemies and ours as well. I'm now going to go over to Exodus 31, verse 12 through 17. Exodus 31. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Again, these concepts keep rolling over and over and over. But the idea of the death penalty for Sabbath breaking, I know there's a civil element to that, but really I think about unregenerate man and his endless toiling. He cannot rest. He is looking to make himself right with God. He knows he has a sin problem, but he is trying to work and to work and to work, and he works himself to death. He follows dumb idols, and he serves them, and he works and works and works himself to death. Marion had Hebrews chapter 4 in the reading earlier. And it promises us eternal rest. We get to rest in Jesus' work. We do not have to depend on our own. We do not have to work ourselves to death. So another passage for you, Isaiah 56, 2 through 7. "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant, even them, these strangers, they were not of God's people. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. In the Sabbath, God is communicating to us the promises of the gospel. You who were far off, who were not of the people of God, he has given you a name. He has given you a place. He has given you a people. He has given you a community. And on the Sabbath, we come together and we celebrate this. As those people who were afar off. So God is our sovereign, and as our creator, and as our provider, and as our deliverer, and as our merciful Father, who has adopted us and given us his name. He calls us to rest. One of the things I hear probably as often as anything else on the gathering Sunday morning, hey, how are you doing? Oh man, I'm tired. It was a week. Right, Marion? I mean, that is common, is it not? We come here and we need the rest. We lay our burdens down. And we enjoy sweet fellowship with God and with his people. He also promises us life. This rest regenerates our life. When your hands are hanging down, I don't know about y'all, but when I come to worship on Sunday, I'm often very tired. And when I leave, I'm often energized and refreshed and ready to take on the next week. This is typical of God's law. Obeying it brings life. Disobeying it brings death. I want to talk about another passage that we talked about a little bit last week. And we'll look at it in a little different context here. Leviticus 25, 1 through 13. And the Lord spake to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years ye shall sow your field, and 6 years ye shall prune your vineyard, and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land. All it shall be for food. All its produce shall be for food. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7th Sabbath of year shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to its inhabitants. Each of you shall return to his possessions, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possessions. So, as we discussed last week, obeying God's laws, he returns blessing to you. He makes you prosperous. And this is the pattern, that not only do we get one day off in 7, but here it says we get 1 year off in 7. And again, if I'm doing my math correctly, at the end of the 7 sevens is the 49th year, which you get off, and then the 50th year you get off. God is really concerned about this idea of rest. I don't know about you guys, but I've never had a boss that has told me after 6 years, hey, you know what, take the year off. We're going to take care of you. But God cares for your rest and the people under your charge and your animals and even your land. All of those things that he created and blessed you with. So keeping the Sabbath is really a way of showing God that we love him. We look to him as our provider and we say, you are all sufficient. On this day, I will rest and not labor. It is also a way for us to love our neighbor. We do not require them to work. Whether that is a near neighbor living in your house, or a servant, or a stranger who is just staying with you for a short time. As we participate in covenant renewal worship, we actually work through all of these elements of the Sabbath. God, as our sovereign and creator, has the authority to call us to worship, and we respond. We give back to him in our abundance, in the offering time. We look to God as our deliverer when we confess our sins and look to be assured of our forgiveness. And we listen to the instructions of our gracious Father as he teaches his children. And then, if that weren't enough, he then gathers us at his table as his children, and he feeds us. And we are renewed, and our obedience is renewed, and our faith is renewed and increased. This is the pattern of the Sabbath. Let me return back to our passage in Jeremiah. We kind of went far afield there. Starting with verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, and diligently hearken is the same as hear, O Israel. That's the same word. So they are to pay attention. If ye hearken diligently unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, those are instruments of war, They and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south. Revival will break out all around them, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. God is wanting to bless them. And if I could just take a minute and paint the picture of where Judah is in history. Israel has already been in captivity for about 100 years. They were defeated by the Assyrians and taken into captivity. And then the Assyrians were defeated by the Babylonians. And at this point in time, the Babylonians and the Egyptians are at war. And as they say, when the elephants fight, the grass suffers. And at this point, Judah is thinking it's grass. It's thinking that it's going to get trampled. And so these are the promises that God gives to them. He says, I am going to protect you. I am going to make you victorious in battle. Your city is going to remain forever. No bondage, no captivity under their own kings. Revival is going to break out. Prosperity is going to break out. People will be flooding into Jerusalem, into this city that is going to remain forever, with their sacrifices. This is what the kings want. This is what the kings are desiring at this point. This is what the people want. They do not want to be taken off into captivity. This is the desire of our hearts. We want to be protected. We want to be cared for. And God says, I can do that for you. I can do that for you. If you do this for me. Now the last part of our passage says, but if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. God's word always comes with blessings and cursings. So you get to choose this day. He's telling the kings, and I'll extend that to you. You get to choose this day that beautiful city, Jerusalem, will remain forever, or God will burn it to the ground. And this is a warning to the civil leaders. This is a warning to the fathers. This may be your nation. This may be your house. You can obey God, and He will prosper you, and He will bless you. Or you can disobey, and He will burn it to the ground. So I want to encourage you this day to choose life, to choose liberty, to choose blessing, to enter in to that Sabbath rest with joy. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy of Sabbath rest. We thank you for your Spirit that leads us into all truth. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the supper that we're about to receive. We pray that you will use it to strengthen us, to encourage us, to increase our faith, and to allow us to serve you with greater zeal each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.